you have all these names of God revealed, and the general name, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord that we keep seeing in the Psalms, all that was a revelation of everything that he's ever said about himself in his word is given in the name of the Lord. To always have what he has told us of him always set before us.
What's in a name? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Hallowed be your name. It is part of that petition that we bring to the Lord from the Lord's Prayer, the Disciples' Prayer. And today we turn our attention to Psalm 124, verses 1 through 8, as well as the Heidelberg Catechism, which we have a copy of for you if you request it. I'll tell you how to do that at the close of the program. But for now, let's catch up with Pastor Chris Gordon in our series, How to Pray, here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace. Let's give attention to God's Word, shall we?
This is the word of the Lord. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And there is the reading of God's word. And if you have the back of your Blue Psalter hymnal, this is a question and answer tonight that helps us to understand what it means as we pray the first request of the Lord's Prayer. And this is our study in the series on prayer tonight as Christians need help to learn how to pray, and the Lord has given us great guidance. So this is on page 60 in the back of your Blue Psalter hymnal, and I'm going to ask the question, and please respond tonight with the answer. What does the first request mean? Hallowed be thy name means, help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works, and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name would never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Well, tonight, we begin a study here in the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We have learned already a lot from the Lord and teaching us how to pray. Remember, this was the disciples' desire to want to know how to pray. I have said in the course of this series, it must have been something to sit and listen to Jesus pray. Can you imagine? To listen to the prayers of Jesus? The effect of that might have been some intimidation, I would think, on the part of the disciples, so that they wanted to know how to pray. They were concerned about prayer, and Jesus helped them in how to pray. And you know, in Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave great instruction and gave that beautiful section of the Lord's Prayer that we all say and are able to say because the Lord gave us that form in our prayers. Remember last time I quoted Martin Luther, which was one of my favorite quotes from Luther on prayer, where Luther said, nobody really has an excuse not to pray. One of the greatest blessings the Lord has given us is the Lord's Prayer. You can say it any time. You can come to the Lord and pray the very words that he taught you to pray. That, of course, has to come with understanding, doesn't it? And that's where we are tonight. We looked at last time how Jesus taught us to address the Father and the special relationship that we have, that Jesus has opened up for us, that we can come directly to our Heavenly Father. That Jesus himself, when he was on the cross, took the words and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that he might place on our lips the ability to pray, Father, as adopted sons by grace. Just beautiful, isn't it? We looked at all that and how fathers, even earthly fathers, affect how we look at the Heavenly Father. And the Lord wants us to understand he loves us and that he cares for us. And as a good father in life cares for his children, so the Lord wants you to know he cares for you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to supply all your needs. You're not going to go without. He's going to care for you all the way, in every way that you need, and then receive you into glory. That's the beauty of the Christian message of the gospel because of what Jesus has done. Well, tonight we launch into the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, and I think we come to the first petition here, and it's probably the one that we misunderstand the most. What are we saying when we say, "Hallowed be your name"? As I was thinking about it this week, I stumbled on something that J.K. Van Balen once said that I thought was so helpful when he said, "The spiritual life of most of us is so poorly developed that we find it difficult to realize that 'Hallowed be thy name' is actually a petition." I thought that was good. What are we asking of the Lord when we say that? What does it mean? I would have to agree that in the course of my life, looking over prayer and how I've prayed, how central has that petition been in the course of my prayer? Probably not as much as it should be, because I haven't really appreciated or understood it the way that I should. They're not really a doxology, are they, these words? It's not the end of prayer. This is the beginning of prayer. This is how prayer is to begin. We've looked at the address, who we are addressing, and now what we begin to ask of the Lord. And isn't it something that the very thing that the Lord first taught us to ask is, "Hallowed be your name"? A beautiful simplicity as we come to the Lord in prayer. So that's the goal tonight with this message, is to think about what that basic petition means in prayer. And there are really three things that we're asking from the Lord when we come to him this way. There's a lot of things we could ask. You'll notice that what we said in the question and answer tonight is calling us to think about many things. But you could break them down in this way, that we're asking that we would sanctify the Lord in our hearts. Second, that we would recognize his works in our lives. And third, just to be very straight with the last point, that we would not be hypocrites. That we would not be hypocrites. I think those are three ways we could break this down tonight to think about it again. Sanctifying the Lord in our hearts, remembering and considering constantly his works, and that we would not be hypocrites in the course of our lives, but that our lives would be set apart to honor him, to glorify him. Part of the challenge tonight is simply the word "hallow." We don't use it, do we? What does that mean? I don't think I've ever heard any of you talk like that in your speech and common language and discourse. Do you? Hallow. Hallow. It sounds like you're saying hello, right? That's not what it is. What does hallow mean? That's what we want to look at tonight. And one of the challenges with prayer that I have rehearsed in this series and that we've talked a little bit about is that often the danger is we use speech that is so lofty, the danger of not even understanding what we're saying. The danger of what Jesus said, "Don't come to me with vain repetitions," thinking you're going to be heard simply by saying a prayer. None of that is what the Lord is after in coming before him. He wants us to come with understanding and true faith, believing. This is what James challenged us to when we pray, not doubting, but believing. So the very form and content of our prayer is important to the Lord. And tonight, as we look at this one, first petition, where the Lord is teaching us to say, "Hallowed be your name," the word simply means to be regard God as holy. Maybe a more simple way to say it is, "Holy is your name." See, now that begins to take some understanding for us, doesn't it? Holy is your name. What does that mean? What are we asking of the Lord? There's a little verse in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, where Peter called Christians to always sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Listen to it then in that way. "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name." I think right there you sense that they have the beautiful sense that you've asked God of something that you may not fully understand. And that's what we're after as we pray. "Father, would you help us to make your name holy in our lives?" We're asking that of you. We need that. We need that help from you, that we would regard you as holy in our lives. This is always the concern of the Lord. Remember when Nadab and Abihu sinned? And they had come before the Lord in worship, and they had disregarded the commandments of the Lord. They had disregarded the Lord's will. Remember what the Lord said to Moses through Moses? Moses then pulled Aaron aside and said, after they were struck down, he said, "This is what the Lord said. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy." Holy. Set apart. This was always the concern of the Lord. The Lord has done wonderful things for us. And last time I talked about the blessing then of calling God our Father, having that adopted son status and being able to do so. He wants us to know that he loves us, but he also wants us to remember his holiness. He also wants us to remember that he is a holy God, a holy Father to us. I love what the Heidelberg says. Help us to really, here's the meaning, help us to really know you, to bless you, to worship you, to praise you. What is that? What is that recognizing is the great danger? What is it recognizing that is the great problem that we have in our life? So that really gets to the heart of it. If we can say, what is the great danger every single day when we get up or every time we come before worship? Before the Lord, what is the very thing, the very danger that we're faced with as we begin our day or even come before the presence of the Lord? Well, it was Israel's danger. It's what happened to Israel. Listen to this. "So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full. And you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." Now, what do you think happens? How much has the Lord blessed us? How much has the Lord provided for us? How much has the Lord cared for us? How many good gifts has the Father given you, his sons? Where could we begin to number all of them? What's the danger? It's this. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I believe that captures it, the danger of what goes on as we go through life and as we experience all this blessing from the Lord. How many of you say the Lord has blessed you? The strange thing is that I often hear amidst all this blessing a singular concern. I hear it all the time, and I've said it all the time. You know what that singular concern is? Why does the Lord seem so distant? Why is my heart so cold? This is the experience, it seems, of the Christian life. And we're always talking about in our songs, and we're always talking about in the course of life, cold hearts, cold hearts, cold hearts. Absolutely cold. We're frustrated because of that. We're frustrated because of what seems to be a lacking religious experience that we're all in search for. There's got to be something more that brings us and connects us to this God because the relationship feels often so distant, so far, and so cold. We're desperately wanting to fix that. We're desperately trying to fix that. You ever feel God is distant? Do you struggle with that? Of course you do. Typically, who do we see as the problem? Him. Behind that concern is often a blaming of him, that he's not done enough to show his nearness to us. Remember how we started this series on prayer? The very reason the Lord calls us to pray is because he is near to us. Didn't Jesus just tell you, pray to my Father? You have direct access to a Father who loves you, who cares for you, who provides for you because of his Son, his beloved Son, Jesus. So the Father doesn't refuse us anything. If he's not refusing and providing you all the blessings that you have in life, do you think he's refusing you him? Of course not. Of course not. He's a God near to us. Truth be told, we're the absent ones. We're the absent ones. This is what, first thing in the Garden of Eden, as soon as Adam sinned, he did what? Bolted from God as far as he could get. And tried to do it himself. And found himself in all kinds of misery. And the first question of God was, Adam, where are you? You've run from me, haven't you? You did what I said you should not do, didn't you? This is the real problem of the even Christian life. That when God blesses us and when God fills us and God saves us and provides for us all kinds of wonderful blessings, that we forget the Lord our God. And we describe that as we're forgetting in periods of distance and coldness. You see why you need to pray this? Think about this for a minute. You understand the necessity for you to pray this. What are you asking? Father, help me to always set apart your name in my life. Let your name be in front of me always. Let your name be my pursuit. Let your worship and your works be on my mind always. There's one little phrase in Psalm 16 that has always helped me with this. Such a wonderful little phrase. I have always set the Lord before me. In the course of life, all that I do, there's a conscious awareness of the Lord's presence with me and that he is before me. He's the one leading me. You think of Israel in the wilderness where the Lord led them. That awareness that the Lord is with them and the Lord led them. The psalmist is saying, I always ask the Lord and realize I have always set him before me. Why is that important? You need that help constantly. You need that help constantly. Sanctifying the Lord in your lives. Setting apart the Lord in your lives. God gave us an entire commandment not to take his name in vain. Think about that. The general name of the Lord, you have all these names of God revealed, and the general name, the name of the Lord that we keep seeing in the Psalms, all that was a revelation of everything that he's ever said about himself in his word is given in the name of the Lord. To always have what he has told us of him always set before us. Jesus told us to use the name Father. So think about the intimacy of that then. Father, I am asking that I would always set you before me. That I would remember that you are a father unlike any other father. That I belong to you. That I am your son and daughter. I wonder if the distance that we often experience is because this petition is so absent in prayer. I wonder. I think even the place of this is important. You notice it's the first petition? What that means is it has a preparation aspect to everything else. We don't talk much about preparation for anything today, do we? We come to worship and we're bolting in here, the last 10 seconds we can get in before the doors close. This is life. We're running around everywhere. I'm just as guilty. Getting there just on time. What is preparation? There's something that the Lord is teaching us here about a prepared aspect of life that needs to be in place. I think he's teaching us something about prepared hearts. You know this when it comes to worship. If you've not prepared your hearts, you know what anxieties can do. If we're rushed here and there and nothing's prepared about worship, you can sit here for most of the service and tune it out. I would submit that many people can go halfway through a worship service feeling completely disconnected from the whole thing. And you could blame me. Hey, it could have been me, right? But it could have been that you had not prepared your heart at all to come before a holy God of Israel. Isn't that right? Isn't that a danger? Half the battle in worship. I believe this. Half the battle of worship when we come, and what we're going to receive out of it often is to be able to come and rightly prepare ourselves to do it. I was reading how Christians took the Lord's Day so seriously years ago. And they really, I think there was an article in the Renewal this week of how they viewed the day of rest that God gave. And seriously, all the meals would be prepared on Saturday. Everything would be ready. There would be even the shaving. Ask the older ladies here. Some of you are laughing. You know your father's even shaved. Some might say that's legalistic. Is it? Or were they really going to come and enjoy the Lord that day and didn't want anything? They wanted the whole day to be focused, sanctifying the Lord in their hearts. That's not legalism. That's not legalism. Don't you think life should be this way? We get up in the mornings. Is the Lord on our hearts? Do we think about him? Do we talk to him? Think about beginning our days. Lord, today, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name in my life. I'm asking that I would be conscious and aware of you today. That I would remember I serve the holy God of Israel. That you are a father to me. And that I've been brought into your kingdom. I'm your child. My status has changed. I belong to you.
We're learning how to pray using the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer, along with the Heidelberg Catechism, which I mentioned at the beginning of our time together today, is available for free if you'll reach out to us and let us know of your interest. And I'll give you the details on how to do that here in just a moment. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, we invite you to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the program. Maybe you'd like to listen to the broadcast again. Any reason at all, we'd love to hear from you, even if it's just a quick praise report saying thanks for the program. That means a great deal to us. You reach out to us at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805. Now, bear in mind, as you visit us online, again, agradio.org, that'll also provide a great jumping-off point to the other platforms that we're available on, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Again, you can jump off to any of those platforms through our website, agradio.org. If you do have a question you would like Pastor Chris to address here on the program, we would invite you to use your voice memo app on your smartphone. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll email you back and let you know when the program airs, so you'll be able to listen to Pastor Chris's answer again right here on Abounding Grace Radio. And then, finally, as we conclude our time today, a quick reminder that this radio broadcast airs on this station you're listening to because friends of the ministry come alongside of us prayerfully and financially. There is a financial cost to making sure that these programs continue to air here on this station. And if you would like to link arms and partner with us, become a part of this family, we would love to hear from you. Again, reach out to us at agradio.org or simply call 888-504-8805. Well, as we conclude our time today, we invite you back tomorrow as Pastor Chris Gordon will continue our look at our series called How to Pray. We are again looking at the Heidelberg Catechism, and we'll be in Psalm 124 once again tomorrow as we continue our understanding of what this means, hallowed be your name. Again, that's all tomorrow here on Abounding Grace. Join us then. And until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.